gentlemen, we are starting our meeting today. Let me heartily welcome the Minister and the Chief from Department of Transport. We invited you as a portfolio committee, having worked on for the past 3 years, to be precise, since November 2014. We have been engaged on issues that are related to TRASA. And as a committee, there's a whole plethora of things that we realize from TRASA. And we have invited the minister so that he can be able to finalize, because the parliament has requested us to look into what are the challenging things that are being experienced in TRASA. Our interaction with the Esquire board, our interaction with the functionaries in TRASA, we have been able to compile a report which actually is a report that we believe that when we speak to that report and get further clarity on progress to date, on what the derailed report of the public protection is, implementation to date, how far have we gone? Well, we are aware of the fact that you now have got a new board which actually will continue implementing most of the things. And this is what we believe, Minister, you will be able to have, will give to the committee what are the critical things that have been implemented, what are the critical things that are a challenge to TRASA in terms of making sure that we deliver on the mandate. We know that TRASA is supposed to ensure that there's public transport in terms of rail. We also believe that as you are aware, we know that there are challenges in terms of the trains, how we, they have been purchased and other related matters which were highlighted in the public protector's report. We believe that, Minister, you should be able to take us on board officially, and then the members of the committee will be able to engage with the report that you have given to us. Let me hand over to you. But I must also indicate that there is an apology from the chairperson of TRASA board, who will not be able to be with us here today. So we believe that those who are here will be able to also direct FTDG and other members will be able to make additions on to what the minister would have engaged on. If and as and when there are issues that will need further clarity in terms of writing, we will really appreciate to get that from yourself. But we would also be keen to want to know progress today in terms of the investigations which were made by the into issues of TRASA, and we will be able to engage from there. Minister, let me hand it over to Rosa. Let me hand over to Honorable Ramatakan, who wants to talk before the Minister.
Sorry, Chair, I didn't want to step between the mic and the minister. But I'm just hearing you presenting an apology of the Chair of TRASA. It wasn't very clear that I told you. Because the Chair of TRASA would have been the first time that I've heard before the committee. Now it can't appear with an apology. And the minister is not representing the board. Now I don't know in the event that the chair is not here, whether there is a whole structure of the board, whether they are members of the new board or interim board that are present. Because this is the board that deals directly with the responsibility they're going to be carrying going forward. It's just a question I want to know, Chair. So, is the chair being represented by someone from the board, or is it a complete absence of the board? I think maybe just start from the beginning, let's just hear that kind of thing.
Is the representative from the board?
No,
there is no one. Yes, there is an interim board, but I will continue. The minister will talk to that. Honorable Banda?
No, thank you, Chair. It's also a follow-up from my side also. They always play first impression that now you've got a new board and they are not here, but you know, in the board also they are also functional. On the side of the functional, led by the CEO. So I want to check, also check that there is no one either from the side of the administration or the accounting authority in terms of it. I think it's a major concern, and I think we must do that very poor, like that. Just register, not to register on record. We are very much concerned about the kind of matter.
Honorable Munshika, you are raising a matter? You're fine. Thank you very much. Welcome, Honorable President. Minister, it is your turn. Right in front of you.
Oh. thank you, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, officials who are present here. We are here, Chairperson, as called by the PCO Chief to come and appear in regard to progress on PRASA implementation of the delayed report of the public protector. Of course, the board is not here, Chairperson. I spoke to them. They were still going to meet the acting group CEO and officials to process some of the issues that are required by the PCOG. With that as it may, Chairperson, the public protector issued a report in August 2015. I won't go into the content of the investigations and the findings. I will only speak to the remedial actions and as to what are we doing in regard to this report, because there is expectation on the side of the executive authority to make sure that the report is implemented. In terms of remedial actions, it says that the appropriate remedial action I'm taking in pursuit of Section 182, Subsection 1C of the Constitution, with a view of placing the complainant as close as possible to where they will have been and the improper conduct or maladministration not occurred, while addressing systematic procurement management deficiencies in PRASA is the following. One, what is it that is expected of the minister? the minister to take cognizance of the findings regarding the unethical conduct and maladministration by PRASA relating to the irregularities mentioned in the report. Two, ensure that the PRASA board considers the report and, where appropriate, acts in terms of Section 84 and as contemplated in Section 85 of the PSMA. Three, ensure that the PRASA board considers the acts of maladministration and improper conduct referred to in paragraph 8 of this report and takes appropriate disciplinary action against the officials of PRASA in respect of their conduct referred to therein. Four, including their oversight activities with regard to PRASA as a state-owned enterprise, the monitoring of implementation of remedial action taken in pursuit of the findings in terms of powers conferred under Section 182, subsection 1C of the Constitution. Since then, Chairperson, in regard to issues that were referred to the minister on the 9th of September 2015 wrote a letter to the chairperson of the board in regard to issues raised in the report, and this is what has been written by the chairman, by the minister. Dr. Popomile Fair, chairperson of the board, a report of the public protector on the passenger rail agents of South Africa. I'm hereby writing to the chairperson, taking note and cognizance of the findings by the public protector with regard to unethical conduct and maladministration relating to the irregularities that was. I would therefore like to bring the following recommendations emanating from the report for your agents and necessary attention of the Board of Directors of PRASA. One, that the board considers the report and, where appropriate, acts in terms of Section 84 and as contemplated in Section 85 of PFMA. Two, that the board considers the act of maladministration and improper conduct referred to in paragraph 8 of the Public Protector's report and takes appropriate disciplinary action against the implicated officials of PRASA. And three, that the board provides bi-weekly progress report on the implementation of the remedial action to be taken in pursuit of the findings of the report. In this regard, you are therefore requested to submit by Friday, 11 September 2015, an implementation plan mentioned in three above, indicating how the remedial actions referred to will be effected. Yours, Minister. So the Minister, after receiving this report, made sure that she writes to the board that the remedial actions as directed by the public protector have to be implemented, or the report and the remedial action has to be implemented and steps be taken, including instituting disciplinary action. And subsequent to that, the chairperson or the board responded and wrote the letter to the minister, progress report on the PRASA investigations and the state of investigations. It's a long letter, chairperson. I don't think I have to read the whole letter. But it is how the board was going to investigate all issues that have been raised by the public protector where there are irregularities in regard to procurement. And the chairperson and the main are saying, as you are aware, the board has been dealing with the respective findings of the public protector and the AG. The public protector investigated 38 allegations and made findings on suspicious financial transactions involving 3.5 billion rand that was paid to service providers by Prasa. The PP instructed Prasa board to investigate this transaction and, amongst others, to take actions on the findings of maladministration and improper conduct. And then there were a whole range of other procedures that the board was going to follow to make sure that the report gets implemented. Also, the public protector under 9.2 in the report of the DRE directed the chairman of the board to ensure the following: the Prasa board take cognizance of the findings of maladministration and improper conduct by Mr. Montana and other functionaries at Prasa, and take or ensure that appropriate disciplinary action is taken against the responsible officials where it considers appropriate. And the Prasa board evaluates the effectiveness of Prasa's internal controls on SCM and HR processes with a view to take corrective action to prevent the recurrence of the inappropriateness referred to in this report. Prasa board considers amending the 350 million threshold value of its SCM policy for competitive bidding process of procurement of goods and services. The Prasa board reports to the National Treasury and the Auditor General particulars of the alleged financial misconduct and the steps taken in connection with such financial misconduct as contemplated in Section 15 of the PSMA, and to support National Treasury in conducting a forensic investigation into all Prasa contracts above 10 million rand since 2012 and take measures to address any findings regarding systemic administrative deficiencies allowing maladministration and related improprieties in its procurement system. Since then, Chairperson, all cases where there are suspicions of irregularities in regard to our awarding of contracts which were above 10 million were referred to National Treasury. And indeed, National Treasury had started with the investigations. The acting DG seated here spoke to his counterpart in Treasury, who indicated that as soon as they are done with the investigations, findings and recommendations, they will head over the report to us and the public protector. Also, in terms of remedial actions, there were recommendations made in regard to the acting group CEO of Prasa, that Prasa should adopt a monitoring system that ensures that proper procurement processes and HR processes are followed on appointing service providers and individuals, review the existing policy or the policy provisions on managing conflict of interest to ensure there's no confusion regarding expectations from employees and the board members. Together with National Treasury, commission a forensic investigation into all Prasa contracts above 10 million since 2012 and take measures to address any findings regarding systemic administrative deficiencies allowing maladministration and related improprieties in its procurement system. Together with the board, review the entire Prasa SCM policy, in particular clause 11.3 of the policy, to ensure that prior to signing a formal contract or service level agreement with a contractor, must ensure that such contracts or agreements are legally sound to avoid potential litigation and to minimize possible fraud and corruption. This must include legal vetting by at least the legal services of the agents. Such contracts or agreements must be actively managed in order to ensure that both the agency and the contractors meet their respective obligations. To ensure that there is compliance with paragraph 11.1 of disciplinary code and procedure of Metrorail to avoid prolonged and costly suspension of employees, what the board or the public protector has since recommended is that officials who are found to be having a conflict of interest or implicated in inappropriate disciplinary procedures have to be taken, and they have to appear before a disciplinary committee and explain. I'm told the Auditor General and the Treasurer have since done some work in regard to find out as to who are the officials who might have been conflicted in the procurement of services, or who had connections with some of the service providers in Brazza. And we believe that when Treasury hands over the report that they have embarked upon to investigate issues referred to them, they will also attach a copy of officials who have been found to be have been conflicted in regards to supply chain policy and awarding of contracts. So there's nothing to hide, Chairperson. We believe our counterpart in Treasury, who have the competence to embark on this exercise, will forward us the report as soon as possible. And there were also remedial actions in regard to the procurement, Chief Procurement Officer of National Treasury, to conduct a forensic investigation to all process contracts. I think I've spoken to this, and they are approved by the public protector. Monitoring. The Minister of Transport to submit an implementation plan indicating how the remedial actions referred to in paragraph 9.1 above will be implemented within 30 days from the date of my final report. The Chairman of the Brazza Board to submit an implementation plan indicating how remedial actions referred to in paragraph 9.2 above will be implemented within 30 days from the date of my final report. And lastly, second from last, the acting group CEO of Brazza to submit an implementation plan indicating how the remedial action referred to in paragraph 9.3 above will be implemented within 30 days from the date of final report. The Chief Procurement Officer of the National Treasury to submit an implementation plan indicating how the remedial action referred to in paragraph 9.3 above will be implemented within 30 days from the date of my final report. And last, all actions requested in my report as part of the remedial action, I have taken in terms of my powers under section 182, subsection 1C of the Constitution to be finalized within 6 months and a final report presented to my office. Last Thursday, Chairperson, we met the public protector to appraise the public protector about progress in regard to the implementation of the delayed report, and we have since agreed to the implementation plan that is here. I think we'll give you a copy, Chairperson. It reads as delays report number 3 of 2015, or you have the COP 2016 implementation of remedial action to update the public protector with the monitoring and implementation of the remedial actions outlined in the PP's report titled The Way. This update in particular relates to the remedial actions directed at the Minister of Transport. The delay report deals with an investigation into allegation of maladministration relating to financial mismanagement, tender irregularities, and appointment irregularities against PRASA. Current status is that currently PRASA is in the process of implementing the outlined remedial action. The parastatal has appointed forensic investigators to investigate some of the allegations. Criminal cases were opened, and in some cases, legal opinions were received in order to advise PRASA regarding the legal ramifications of some of its officials. Below is the progress of the implementation of the remedial action as it pertains to the Minister of Transport. 1. Minister of Transport, to take cognizance of the findings regarding the unethical conduct and maladministration by PRASA relating to the irregularities mentioned in the report. In regard to progress, in a letter dated 21 October 2016, the Minister confirmed inter alia that she has taken cognizance of the Public Protector's report as well as its content. Status implemented due date 24 September 2015. The Minister has since returned that letter to commit to implement the report and the remedial action in particular. 1.2, ensure that the PRASA board considers the report and where appropriate acts in terms of section 84 and is contemplated in section 85 of the PFMA, and then ensure that the PRASA board considers the acts of maladministration and improper conduct referred to in paragraph 8 of this report and takes appropriate disciplinary action against the officials of PRASA in respect of their conduct referred to therein. And in terms of progress of action, on 8 October 2015, the Minister wrote a letter to the Office of the Public Protector wherein she indicated that she had requested the PRASA board to attend to the drafting of the implementation plan, which will indicate how the remedial actions were to be accomplished. The Minister confirmed that she is still engaging with the board to ensure that the implementation plan is finalized. She and PRASA board subsequently facilitated the commission of a forensic investigation into various instances of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred by PRASA and all irregular and or unlawful activities related thereto, and the status implemented on that day. 4. Including her oversight activities with regard to PRASA as a state-owned enterprise, the monitoring of implementation of remedial action taken in pursuit of the findings in terms of the powers conferred under Section 182, Subsection 1C of the Constitution. Progress: on 14 June 2017, the Office of the Public Protector received a letter from the acting Group CEO whereby the new Minister of Transport, Mr. Joe Maswanganyi, was copied. The letter included a consolidated progress report on the outstanding remedial action. PRASA undertook to report to the PP regularly regarding the outstanding remedial action. Status in progress: the Office of the PP is still awaiting for the latest progress report on the outstanding remedial action. And then also on progress report, Office of the PP has subsequently sent a follow-up letter to PRASA dated 6 July 2017 as well as telephonic and email reminders for the submission of the latest progress report, especially the review of the PRASA SVN policy, particularly addressing clause 11.3 of the policy, the review of the existing policy or the policy provisions on managing conflict of interest among employees and board members, a detailed update on the process relating to the suspended employees, including those who are members of the National Transport Movement Union. The latest communication sent to PRASA was an email dated 16 October 2017. We are yet to receive a response. The SY Minister stated that she will continue to monitor the matter as it progresses and provide the Office of the Public Protector with further updates as and when it becomes necessary. So that's what we have discussed with the public protector on Thursday to make sure that all the issues that are raised in the raised reports are investigated and brought to finality. Since then, Chairperson, PRASA has appointed so many service providers, and they still have to submit to us as to who amongst those service providers, on top of last month, have conducted investigations. We are aware that they have been appointed a group of attorneys or firms of attorney to investigate different cases as a result of the public protector's recommendation. Herein is a letter to Ms. Martha Moye of PRASA, returned by Vexman's investigation report. That's what we have, Chairperson. We'll make the letter available also. And also, the terms of engagement, legal services, is another letter defining the scope of their engagement with the PRASA. The letter or the document is also attached, Chairperson. And then also, what is this? This is just correspondence. The resolution of the Board of Directors of PRASA. Here is the document which we have to make a copy of and finish, Chairperson. This is what we got in relation to last month, Chairperson. And when I spoke to the Chairperson of the Board, she indicated that since we came into office, amongst other priorities of the Board was to receive the investigation report by various service providers who have been appointed by PRASA. And even this morning, early this morning around 7, I did call the Chairperson to indicate that the Portfolio Committee is looking forward to get the reports from various investigators. And she informed me that the acting group CEO indicated to her that he was still compiling those reports. So what we have are the terms of reference and engagement, but we are still awaiting a report from Treasury, which they spoke to the acting DG to indicate that once they are done with the report, they will submit it to us, to the Board and to the committee. And the same applies with the other reports which are there in PRASA. And also, we will make sure that we stick to the time frame that we have agreed upon with the public protector in regard to implementing the delayed report, Chairperson. I think for now, let me pause there.
Honourable members, then we are He requested to present his comments today with respect to the grill concept. I think our special Honorable Banda will end there by Honorable Khaled. Honorable Banda.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, and thanks to the Minister of Transport for a very comprehensive report, well detailed and well presented. Chair, my comment would be to say it's apparent that enough ground has been covered. First of all, by the committee and by the former minister and by the board to actually make sure that the remedial action that has been recommended by the public protector is implemented. And I think that is quite helpful. And the minister has also mentioned the fact that quite a number of structures, meaning the minister, the board, the group chief, the group CEO, chief procurement officer, have been also been interacting with the public protector, and there were clear deadlines that we agreed upon as to when the implementation will take place. So, Chair, I think from my side would be to say the progress report should be noted, and it's also heartening that the minister has also had a meeting with the public protector recently, and they have also agreed as to how to take the process forward, and they have even agreed on the time frame. And I think we must just also, Chair, respect that, and then have the board then request to be updated. I don't know then the frequency, when can we get that progress report as to how is the process that is agreed upon by the minister and the public protector we should agree on. But I think it must also find a spread to the community, because we have also to monitor the progress. Chair, my question would be in relation to this appointment of more service providers over and above personnel to do investigation. But I understand that we still have an issue with the issue of personnel. Now, and to ask now who is doing what now? It seems as if, Chair, so many investigations that are taking place there. And I think that the committee, we should know which one really is the investigation that now should take precedence over the other. The treasurer is doing its own, the AG is doing its work. We're waiting for all those reports, and I think, Minister, once those reports are awarded to you, I think it would be appreciated that the committee also is taking into confidence as to what has transpired. I'm really worried about this. Maybe the hawks, everyone is investigating, so I don't know when PRASA will be actually now doing the work of providing service delivery to the people. And I want to ask to the minister, what is this observation? Is PRASA now, what is the state of PRASA currently? Is it functional? Is it completely complete paralysis. Because you hear there are a lot of issues that actually have to be provided by PRASA to the communities. There is a problem of metro rail, the trains are late, people are expelled from work as a result of. So there's quite a lot. And I think, Chair, the sooner this issue of investigation and all this thing that's happening in PRASA is concluded and actually laid to rest, and I think the better, because I think we want to see an entity that is actually fulfilling the mandate that it was created for. So, Chair, I think I will address my case at the end.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chair and the Minister's presentation. Just a first comment for me. The concern I had at the beginning will start to emerge because the actual people are supposed to be answering critical board questions are not here. So now we're going to ask the Minister this question, and the Minister is not necessarily functional. He's not in terms of the Company Act. The board must answer these questions. So there's a dilemma that we are sitting with. Now the Minister is revealing the appointment of various service providers. Now, exactly who appointed them? Is that legal appointment? Did they follow a proper procedure in terms of appointment? Is there money to pay those service providers? The last time we had engagement with PRASA, they have not budgeted. The board that has now retired, there was no budget for all the legal expenses, which in fact, when we last had a discussion with the Minister, we took a view that even the close to 200 or 150 million that was paid to Bergsma was irregular. We took a view that kind of investigation, the appointment of Bergsma had not necessarily followed procedures. Now, if there is further appointment of other service providers, not the scope, what they're going to do, when they submit their report, is a concern for the committee. Because we don't know whether they do have actually the budget. Let me move away from that question, that I do think the fact that they're not here will probably help to, I don't know, Chair. We would need to have a further meeting with the board, talk to the board that they must account, because they're inheriting what I could loosely call mess. So they now need to tell us how to clean that mess in terms of dealing with this matter forward. Minister, the last time on the discussion with the board, there was this issue about treasury investigation. Any contract, all contracts about 10 billion rand to be investigated. Now, we hear treasury says they will report when they are ready. But we don't know when they are going to be ready. Because they too don't do this with themselves. They appoint certain service provider to do the work. But if I look at the report, the plan for the public protector is from the October 2015 to the 2017, when the letter was written, there's a whole year gap, which we don't quite understand what was happening there. Has the Treasury started the investigations? which contract has been completed of the ten million and above. For me, it's not satisfactory. For Treasury to say they will give the department, they are not doing it for the sake of doing it. The Department of Transport, in terms of the public protector, asked them to investigate some of these. So there should be more transparency. There should be more information. But what I'm hearing from the minister is really kind of backhand response. We will give you a report when we're ready. Unheard of. I think we need to get some feedback as to when they're going to complete this investigation. Of course, at the beginning they said it was 25 million that they budgeted for. We don't know if it's forever investigation that has not come to an end. How much money are they going to spend on that? At interest, because somebody's going to be billed at the end of the day. I guess somebody will be billed or they will forfeit a certain amount of money. It's not clear in terms of that. Quickly, Chair, which of other investigations amongst the investigation were handled for Hawks? Remember the discussion we had, I didn't hear much about Hawks. There was also a problem that the previous board, they were reluctant to submit some of the projects to Hawks to investigate, including Treasury. They were very reluctant to do that because they wanted Bergsma to investigate all of these. So Bergsma, which has been appointed illegally by the Pete in this case, in terms of PMFA, we have indicated as a committee unhappiness. In fact, to say certain provision of the PMFA will have to be recalled or implemented where there is a improper action must be taken. Now, these are the board action that we must take this particular action. If they are not here, we're not going to know. Quickly, Chair, I just want to know how many of the investigations now were Hawks and when were they submitted to Hawks for investigation? The last time I knew there was a fight between the Hawks and the board. The chair of the board. In fact, there was an instruction letter from the chairperson who instructed the Hawks to do certain things in terms of the letter. That's the last time we knew. But also there was no case that they submitted. The board was saying you must comply with Bergsma. Do what Bergsma tell you to do. And this was instruction given to the state institution by a private company that you will do X, Y, Z. How much is now being paid to Bergsman? Is Bergsman contract continuing? Last time we heard from the group CEO, the acting, LK, there was a promise, and I think the acting DG can attest to this. We were told that at the end of July 2017, Bergsman will be shown the door. Did they actually step out of the door? Or will they still be doing some work and they've been paid? That's the few questions, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Jeffreyton.
Thank you, Chair. There are a few questions and comments I have, but I want to just backtrack first on a few things. And I'd like to understand from the Minister, who has not responded to my correspondence, and it's why is an interim board being appointed? Why isn't it a full-time proper board? What's the hesitation in appointing a board? And why is it that of these four members that have been appointed, only two have transport expertise, and which one actually has time to actually be involved in the in-process as a board member. All the others are too busy, or simply don't have the expertise. So it'd be interesting to find out why an interim board and why these members, half of which have no experience in transport. I'll just cover a few things that have been mentioned before by my colleagues at the minister. The first is talking about the previous board, who were one-on-one intimidated into leaving as members of the board. And I'd like the minister's comments on what the previous process board chair has said publicly and to me personally, of how he arranged that people visit Dr. Murefe and encourage him to resign. He was a board member, a chairman of the board. It would be interesting to hear why he was encouraged to, why they wanted to include him. Then there's mention made about the Hawks, but what's not mentioned is that the team, the original team, the Hawk team, excellent team, who when they started uncovering things, were mysteriously and dramatically removed and separated. A new team was put in place, who then have done nothing. And what isn't mentioned in this committee is that FRASA, the board at the time, had to send, had to go to court to compel Hawks to do their job. It's ludicrous that you actually had to go to court to get an entity to do what they're supposed to do. And that's the reason why previous board was very reluctant to have anything to do with the Hawks, because they were implemented there to obfuscate and to prevent any kind of further investigation. There's a lot being said about how much has been spent on these legal people, and my last figure I understand is about 150 million. But what's not said is out of that investigation so far, over 2 billion have been recovered. So that's, they're getting 0.002% of what's been recovered. So then we're paying them 150 million, but we're actually getting 2 billion back. Good return, to ask me. So that part's not being said. It's convenient not to say so. What the minister also has responded to, and I've written to him many times, is also why this new interim board was appointed so late, 3 months after Chile. Why a CEO has still not been appointed today, and as a result, FRASA is in paralysis because nobody had the authority or the mandate, if you like, to actually run the entity. So everybody's acting, and the acting CEO, as mentioned earlier, has no authority to sign off on anything. As a result, FRASA is deteriorating more and more, and more South Africans are being stranded every day. So I'm sorry to paint such a cynical view of this, but I still say, and I said it before this committee, I'll say it again, it's a big cover-up. It's a more facade to make it seem like there's an investigation. If there was real genuine openness, why were shady meetings being held with previous board members to compel them to resign? They were so pressurized that they did, and eventually it was only essentially the chairman in the end that stood his ground and didn't resign. And why is it that an interim board, not a full board, has been put in? Why is it these members are not competent to do the job because half of them don't know the work and they're too busy anyway, the ones that are? So it's a big smoke and screen situation. So it appears that this investigation is really being investigated, but it's not. And my last point is that it's clear that there's a silver thread going right through. And the big enemy is Wordsworth, and you need an enemy when you've got a story like this, so it's a convenient one. If there is genuine will to investigate, why is such a reluctance to, and they're recovering, by the way, they're recovering a lot of stuff, a million documents, not pages, a billion, I think, a billion documents that they have in their possession of this investigation. And why is reluctance to for them to continue using it? Because they haven't been successful. They've actually recovered money, they've taken people to court, their court process is happening, all that kind of thing. What's the penalties? Where they've actually returned to the purse $2 billion and they're spending $150 million. Do you think that recovering the total, by the way, of $51 billion is going to cost half a dozen rand? It's going to cost millions for expertise, legal and otherwise, to uncover this investigation. That's the reality. So it's interesting that members of this committee are very reluctant to say how much money is being spent on a legal firm that actually producing the goods. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Chair. Thank you, Chair, for this update of this particular report. I think we've got about two, three years now that we're dealing with this particular issue in this report. 3 years. And then it's really disturbing, Chair, that we continue to engage, but we doing runaround circles. But my most appalling disturbance is a question coming from my colleague of him approving Prasa continuing appointing private entities, wasting more money that's supposed to fix these trades that are are being studied. We know very well that there are, committees. I think these are some of the committees that are just coming in, who are just protesting outside that they want their metro rail to be fixed, which becomes a problem. Instead of us fixing the metro rail, we're taking money, paying legal firms to investigate. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. It really doesn't. How do you take money that's supposed to fix these trains and pay private entities, whereas the remedial actions of the public protector say you must give to the treasury and other state-owned entities to investigate it? Don't waste money. Why do you waste money? Really? It is a very serious challenge. But Chair, I'm really also disturbed that this thing of appointing private providers still continues, and I'm still wondering the very same question that I asked before: when the Prasa appointed Baxman, that was this thing being budgeted for? One, two, was these private providers that have been given being processed through the proper process of supply chain management? I'm really having a very serious concern that it seems as if all the issues that you have been raising before, Prasa didn't take us serious, which some of the other matters that must be able to take forward and deal with these matters. I'm really also, being appalled, Chair, because spending 150 million in investigation doesn't justify. It doesn't. I think 150 million can take how many trains, did you help me here? How many coaches can we get? 4 or 5 coaches. I think we can get some particular coaches for our commuters. We get six, right? Six coaches.
Six sets
of trains.
Really? How do we pay private providers that are coming from outside? It means we really don't take our people serious. Therefore, we come in here and approve and get celebrating that they are appointing private providers. Unless you've got interest in these private providers. Really, the catering of the state. That's what they're talking about. The private entities, they want to capture Prasa. That's the catch that we're talking about. They want to benefit from Prasa. Instead of Prasa fixing the train, they pay them money. That's the catch that we're talking about. And this thing must be not tolerated. Chair must be able to find stiff measures to deal with this matter.
I'm happy that the minister, you are coming closer to this matter. You met with the public protector. Indeed, I guess you haven't had enough time, you know, to deal with other matters. But you've been swamped in these challenges that have been also, you know, happening within the transport fraternity. But I know your capabilities, Minister. You're still going to do very well, and we're confident that soon you're going to give us a valuable report to say how far are we this particular matter. But anyway, we can't be expecting you to appoint CEO while there's no board. I mean, really. How does it make sense? Thank you, Chef.
Thank you very much. I was just about to say, Honourable Member, you're not very fair because these are the issues which were raised by Honourable Defender and you are responding to them. You're not being very fair. Honourable Ramakrishnan.
No, Chair. If you give, must also take.
Yeah.
That's simple. Yeah. If he gives punches, rule of law punches, also give them. I think that was in his defense. I think I'm defending my honor was all here. I'm not going to go back. But the point I wanted to get back to, Chair, we, Minister, there has been a report about forensic investigation. Now, we have been asking, what has been the findings of the forensic investigation? If I remember the last 3 years, we have been dealing with the board. There has been complete resistance to tell us where is this forensic report. Does this forensic report exist, the Minister? Have you had a view? Have you seen it? It is there, is it available? That's now what the forensic report that Bergsman allegedly was having. We haven't seen it. But also the forensic report, as you mentioned about this 10 million contract and above, have those forensic reports exist? Has they been commissioned? Has they been completed? If you can just share a light on that. The progress, there's been number of cases that has gone to court. Some went to court taken by Bergsman and on the instruction of the previous board. They lost those cases. And of course they lost the case with cost and they were asked to pay back the money. What is the progress with regard to that? What's the progress with regard to all the legal matters? We know that there was supposed to have been in a region of millions that was due to be paid to a contractor who has not done the work, who's been sitting because of the investigation from that fund. Has that been finalized? Has the 200 million been paid over to this contractor that was supposed to receive this money? I think it is between this contractor. I can't remember whether it's in Vienna or there's one that deals with the ticketing system at the station. What is the progress? And what is the progress with other cases that, according to the previous board, we're told that those cases are going to court, they are ready for court. What's going to happen? And what's going to happen with the locomotives in terms of those trains? The one that is sitting at that place in Blankfontein and the one that's supposed to come over. What's going to happen to some of those things? How many, Minister, you said many. I just want to maybe get to a figure. This many service providers that have been appointed since our last engagement, how many service providers have been appointed exactly? the center to deal with the various investigation attorneys to investigate many matters and the scope. You mentioned that the matter about the scope. If there was no proper board that could have approved some of these things, who approved these kind of investigation and on what basis was that approved? If the NTC group CEO did not necessarily have the competency in respect of law to do it, is all those appointments now going to be regularized? In other words, I'm not talking about the condonement. Are they going to be condoned by the interim board? And will they do it without understanding the scope of this investigation that's taking place? If you can just help us to understand some of those issues.
Thank you very much, Minister. Maybe one or two things that will be coming from me. Amongst other things that the public protector raised was the number of security companies which are operational in Brasa. Do we still have those security companies, and how many are we having? Can we be saying that these are the security companies which are operational from Brasa? The other thing is upfront payments which were made to deal with the mall without proper bidding by Brasa. How are we progressing in that regard? Because from where I'm seated, I believe that for sure when there was an upfront payment and there was no bidding in that regard, we should be able to say that probably that project has been rescinded and the payment being brought back. And I fully align myself with what my colleague here has said in terms of the cases that are in court, the cases where there has been court instructing that the monthly payment back to Brasa of some of the cases that Brasa has been able to successfully win. How far have we progressed in that regard so that we can be able to get back money and be able to make sure that services provided to the people who need it the most in this regard. So, Minister, I'm going to be giving it back to you so that together with your team, we can be able to respond to some of the things. But critical, as we were talking to this man, is about we have been requesting outcomes of the BERCSMAN. If we were told by that by July they will be exiting Brasa, we expect as a portfolio committee that we should be able to get the report from BERCSMAN, all the work that they have done and every other thing, so that we're able to know. But actually, it is an indictment on the board, the erstwhile board of Brasa, because the public protector was very clear, very, very clear that the Auditor General, the Treasury should be able to investigate some of the anomalies that prevailed. And to us as well as seated as the board, as a portfolio committee, we believe that the FYI board illegally appointed, that is what we're holding, it illegally appointed BERCSMAN because there was no bidding process, like I'm talking to the board, where there was no bidding process. What will be the outcomes? Because 10 million and more should be able to be cleared by Treasury. What are we saying about this illegal appointment of BERCSMAN, which actually we're now talking about over 150 million? Did Treasury approve of that? That this is what the S1 board can be able to do? Because in terms of what the public protector has indicated is that 10 million or above treasury should be able to look into those, and we believe that it means that any other thing that is above 10 million should be able to be processed in collaboration or in interaction with the with the treasury, so that we're able to have service value for money in terms of service. And maybe that is what we should be asking ourselves: did we get value for money in terms of the service that has been provided by Vexman and any other company which was appointed by the Brasa in this regard? Minister, I'm giving it back to you and the team.
Thank you, Chairperson and colleagues. Starting from questions raised and comments raised by Honorable Mpanza, that we'll have to provide regular update to the portfolio committee. This is what we have agreed upon with the public protector, Chairperson, organs that play oversight on the executive. We have committed ourselves to report to them. The public protector has since appointed, is it Ms. Nkosi, to work with us in this regard. So there is a designated officer from the office of the public protector to see to it that the delayed report is implemented. Of course, Honorable Panda has raised the question that there are so many investigations taking place and who is doing what. Of course, Chairperson, there were also investigators or lawyers who were appointed just to look at the report, who bring all those services, service providers here, who also have to interpret whether officials who are implicated have to be disciplined or not. Whereas the public protector's report is very straightforward, that officials who are conflicted must be disciplined. Yes. It's like myself as a minister, if I do business with the transport, that is not allowed. It's a serious conflict of interest. Is PRASA functional or is in a state of paralysis? When we appointed the board, interim board, we went to meet the interim board with the acting DG and indicated to the board that amongst other priorities is to fill the vacancies, starting with the acting group CEO and the executives, including the subsidiary companies which are there. Of course, there are issues raised in regard to the functionality of PRASA, that despite all these investigations taking place, which no one is going to hide, what are you doing as a shareholder to make sure that the entity is functional? We have a strategy, Chairperson, that we have put in place. The copy is here. We'll supply the portfolio committee with the copy on a PRASA turnaround strategy as to what needs to be done. And amongst other things that the interim board is going to do, is to make sure that they implement projects that have stalled as a result of the absence of an accounting authority. Now that the board is in place, there are projects that the interim board has to approve and get them implemented. And at a later stage, we'll submit all those projects, because the acting group CEO or the executive does not have powers in regard to the money that has to be procured. He has got a limit. and they are going to do exactly that, so that Metro Rail in the main should be fully functional. In the Western Cape alone, Jefferson, we can give a breakdown. We are not going to spend less than 8 billion rand to improve the Metro Rail service. There are problems of vandalism which we have reported here on several occasions. We are dealing with that. I have raised the matter of security with the Minister of Police, because we can't be able to deal with security issues as Transport Department through our entity, but there are certain aspects that need the full involvement of police. I have since spoken to my colleague to reinforce our security to deal with crime in a Metro Rail, and he has agreed to that. Also, we are repairing the train sets that have been set alight here in the Western Cape. If we can go to...
Is it Salt River?
Yes. There is progress in that regard. We believe that we are going to bring back not less than 60 sets on the rail. We understand that sometimes our people get frustrated, but there are forces which from time to time ban our trains and for reasons only known to them. There are areas, Chairperson, who supply that information, where we are going to erect a long high wall to try to deter people who create problems on our railways here in the Western Cape. It's something that is undesirable to build walls between communities and the railway line, but we believe that is that, among other things, that we have to do. We are also going to recapitalize the signaling systems to make sure that we have a fully functional rail system, because if they are not fully functional, sometimes it leads to collision of trains, late arrivals of trains. I have since been to communities around here together with the provincial government. We also visited areas of Gauteng with the MEC there, areas of Naledi, New Canada, on the Ferenaring line, which has got challenges. And we have agreed with the board that they have to attend to those challenges because there's money provided. However, I want to indicate, Chairperson, we've got a serious problem of vandalism. I can give example of Mansfield Station, where we had to spend 12 million with the state-of-the-art infrastructure. The day we finished recapitalizing that station, everything was vandalized overnight. And 12 million rand went into the drain. But as it may, we believe that we've got the responsibility to provide reliable metro rail, because most of our people, in particular people coming from the working class background, are relying on metro rail as a means of transport to school, to work, and various destinations. Of course, Honorable Ramatakana has raised the issue of the board, which we'll have to bring here in the next meeting, because they are an accounting authority. As to who appointed those various service providers, of course, I think it is the officials in PRASA and the board by then. Instructed the chairperson that I need all this information be packaged and be brought here to the PCOT and to the public protector, because both bodies have got the responsibility to play oversight on the executive. Also, the question raised by Honorable Ramatala was there budget for those service providers? There was no budget for 148 million rand. This parliament has never passed budget for investigation. The public protector was very clear, Chairperson, that to support national treasure in conducting forensic investigation into all contracts of PRASA above 10 million since 2012 and take measures to address any findings regarding systemic administrative deficiencies allowing maladministration and related improprieties in its procurement system. This is simple English. A forensic investigation into all PRASA contracts above 10 million. The public protector never said that there are exceptions. Why appoint somebody to spend 148 million? I will come to that. So that we don't apply double standards when it suits us. Yeah, the public protector said this. Let's read this sentence, chapter 7. It says all, qualified. And I think the public protector coined it this way, knowing that we can do something else. So we'll have them to explain to you why did we take another route. So it means now National Treasury is investigating and they've got competence. And we have never stopped them, Chairperson. We have got no power because the public protector instructed them. And from time to time we engage the minister who's relevant that deal with this matter. And at the right time, you can even make the report public. When I communicated with the acting DG, he said he spoke to his counterpart who said that he would bring the report. So why appoint private investigators when the state has the capacity? We have never doubted the state's capacity in South Africa. There are many things that are going to be revealed. Where these private investigators, instead of investigating these cases, even go to an extent of investigating individuals, get into their IDs, get into their bank accounts, get into all this and that. Wrong. Can't be condoned. Yes, the PCOT and the treasury investigations raised by Honorable Ramatlakane. As soon as this report will be read, I will also, because it's raising it with this counterpart, I will raise the matter with my counterpart, Honorable Dikal, that there is this responsibility that treasury has been given. Can you please try by all means to make sure that the report becomes available? Because now that the responsibility has been given to him, there is much that I can do to interfere. The main thing, people will come back and say, the Minister of Transport has interest. Why is he always interfering with treasury investigations? I won't interfere, but I will also speak to my colleague and make sure that it is transparent. As to which investigations were headed over to Hawks, I can request the acting DG at his level to check with the head of Hawks and see if we can get that report, or if needs be, PCOT invite the Hawks to come here. We can also be here, Chairperson. Of course, the fight between the Hawks and the board, it is wrong for board to want to instruct independent institutions as to how they should do their work. We will never do that, and nobody had a mandate to instruct the Hawks. We should not cry independence of organs of state when it suits us. When it does not suit us, we must take the Hawks to court, we must tell the Hawks how it must do the work. We can't. We are an executive organ, including the board. The board is part of the executive organ. Why go into other organs and instruct them? You hand over and they will do their work. Don't pass the motion of no confidence on the Hawks if you don't have facts. in that regard that they are incompetent. They are not incompetent. Why appoint the board, the interim board? Of course, we have appointed the interim board. There's nothing irregular in that regard. They are interim because they are not a permanent board which has to be there for 3 years. Chairperson, I don't think what Honorable Deflators is raising is correct. That the people that have been appointed do not have expertise. He does not know them. What he should have done was for him to ask who are in the interim board. Yes. The chairperson of the board, chairperson, is the senior counsel, is Advocate Mapuan. She has been appointed because of her capacity as a lawyer. She has been appointed as a judge as from next year, Honorable Defenders. Not, she did not on her own. JSE recommended to the president, who has since, JSC, who has since effected the appointment. So why doubt somebody who has got that legal expertise? Why? Don't be disingenuous. Or without the capacity of women. She's a senior counsel in her own right. There is Professor Malule, chairperson, who has a PhD in transport economics. How many people have got PhD in transport economics? He comes from the transport sector. The chairperson comes from the legal. Now we're dealing with legal issues here. If there is no lawyer in that board, how do you interpret all this that we are talking about? There is Dr. Skiapel, PhD Engineering Management, with a race background. What else do you want? If a woman has got a PhD, not honors, chairperson, PhD writing, and submit a thesis, and sit before a panel of professors and they comment that she qualifies to get a PhD. Is that person not qualified? What do we talk about when we talk qualifications? And she comes from the Ray background. There is Ms. Ray there who has got a master's in financial management. And there are officials who come from two departments, Treasury and DOT, who are relevant to issues of rail and finance and SALGA. So it's wrong to cast aspersions. You can go and look as to what were the qualifications of the previous board. They're here in the file that you are praising again and again. What were their qualifications? Some were metric, leading a board of Prasa, which is highly technical, metric. So, it's wrong to have the expectations of people who have got so much qualification. Nobody among these ones has got a junior degree. All are postgraduates in most cases, and experts in their own right. I never encourage any board member to resign service. Those who resign, Ms. Manas, I will submit the letter to you, chairperson. She resigned on her own, wrote the letter to the minister. Mr. Pisan resigned on his own, submit a letter, and I accepted their resignation. The letters are there. I never went all out and compelled people to resign. And there was no way I was going to be told that I must appoint a board in a manner that I was not going to follow procedure. What we did since then was to advertise for those posts to fill, to appoint the new board, which the then board was coming to an end in July, on July 31st this year. The court cases, there is no 2 period that has been recovered. I don't know I'm an executive authority responsible for BRAC. Where's the 2 billion? The minister has just presented a mid-term budget policy statement. It's not there. That's a lot of money. Where is it? We must say things where there are no facts. You can't want to justify why BRAC paid a particular service provider a lot of money and justify doing so and come around and say that service provider has recovered 2 billion. There's no such, Chairperson. It's not factual. There's no such. There are court cases. There is a company that was responsible for manufacturing the train. It was taken to court by BRAC. It lost at the High Court. And now it has appealed. We can't interfere. Let the law take its own course. They have taken us on appeal. There is a company that we took to court and we lost. Its effect is there. We'll bring the facts with the judgment. The acting group CEO has got all the powers to sign what is within his power, delegated to him. That the acting group CEO has no authority to sign anything, Chairperson, is it possible? It's not possible. It's not. When somebody is appointed to act, he has got full right, I mean full power. This man who is sitting next to me here, he's a full DG. Despite that he is not appointed as a DG, I have delegated all the powers of an accounting authority to him. So, the same applies with BRAC. The current acting group CEO, there is a schedule of powers delegated to him. So, to say that he can't sign anything, don't exaggerate when you raise issues. There's no cover-up. We are making sure that all the reports are made available by relevant bodies. Why do you want us to continue to utilize the services of a company that was appointed irregularly? Why? If you are a corruption buster, but you want to defend irregularly appointed service providers, that is double standard, Chairperson. You are complaining of a company that has been awarded at 248 million rand irregular. And a member says it's fine. A member of parliament. No. You can't appropriate money to us and we do as we wish. You defend this, you don't defend the other. If the companies that were taken to court have been irregularly appointed, and here is another company that has been irregularly appointed. What are you talking about? It is wrong. Irregular appointment is wrong, Chairperson. There is no 2 billion that any company. You can't justify that. If we have flouted the supply chain management policy, we have to account why have we done that. And it means also anybody who has been appointed irregular must also bring back the money. Yes. So don't apply double standard. Of course, if the issue raised by Honorable Katerre to how, why do you raise so much money? I mean, spend so much money. We can't explain why do we have to spend so much money when the public protector said or instructed that all transactions which are above 10 million have to be submitted to Treasury for investigation. And we go around and appoint other investigators. There are so many investigators there, Chairperson. Some we don't even know what they believe. And I'm afraid that very critical information and documents of BRAC will disappear in the process. Yes. This morning I was called by a BRAC official who has been instructed to come and appear in a legal firm somewhere. And I asked them, since when do you take instructions from independent legal firms? She said, no, they want me to come there. I said, on whose mandate? Because you account to the group CEO or the chairperson. I've spoken about the implementation of the report and how we have agreed with the PP. Again, Honorable Ramaswamy raised other questions in regard to the reporting about forensic investigations which will be made available. We do have court cases, some we lost, some we won. We'll bring an account of all those court cases. In regard to locomotives that are there, there are...
is it 13, those which are at Bronx?
13 already in the country.
Yes. We have almost 13 there in Bronx-on-Day, Jefferson, which were manufactured in Spain. And there are almost 7 which are complete and are in Spain. That company, that manufacturer, those trains are no longer there. There's a new company called Tesla. It's a ship-based company. It has bought the company that manufactures the Trifambo trains. So we are seeking legal advice from the state law or legal advisors as to what do we do with those trains which are in Spain. Because they have been paid for, Jefferson. The 13 years the country and the 7 in Spain. So all in all, 20 paid for. And money has also been spent already on manufacturing another set of trains called hybrid, which use both diesel and electricity. We'll have to report after getting the legal advice from the relevant board. Of course, there are many investigators that were appointed. We'll have to account in that regard. Of course, the chairperson raised the issues of security companies as to how many a day. We'll have to bring a breakdown as to how many a day they are there, and how much is allocated for their services. We have met the Auditor General Chairperson in regard to BRASA when we're dealing with audits of the department and the entities. By then there was no body to sign off the report. We tried to interpret is it section 49 of the PFMA whether the acting group CEO can be delegated the powers of accounting authority by then to sign off the statement. But we were a bit reluctant. We raised the matter with Treasury and we are not sure whether it has been done before. Now that the interim board is there, it must sign off the Auditor General report as a matter of agency. So we are working very closely with the Auditor General and Treasury, even to deal with these cases of officials who have got interest in the business of BRASA, because they have the capacity to investigate such kind of cases. The court cases and the service providers, as I said, Chairperson, will have to bring a breakdown of all the court cases where BRASA has been taken to court or BRASA has made applications for certain service providers to account. And the last month report is what the board is processing, and other reports which are there. Was there a bidding process for appointing Vertman? The officials in the legal division there, the chairperson has instructed them the legal division of Barasat to avail all the documents as to how were these service providers appointed. Was their money allocated or budgeted for these service providers? And very soon we have to bring the report to this committee chairperson. Let me pause there, unless if they think DG has other issues to also add.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. One issue to clarify. The work of the National Treasury was pretty much done. The committee to call was a draft final report that was even leaked. That was a report issued by the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer to the Prasa Board at the time to comment on so that they can finalize the work. So we can simply indicate that the information we got was that they are now looking at the comments from Prasa and they will therefore issue the final report. I think the challenge took slightly longer there is that they were dealing with more than 100 transactions, more than 100 contracts, not transactions, contracts. And probably that is the other issue. So they have dealt with more than 100 contracts and spent about 25 million. And then the other firms dealt with the two contracts.
Trade
dealt with all the contracts over 100. So there were, I think, about 113 of those contracts. I will just get the final number, but it was over 100. So they spent about 25 million. And on the other side, we spent 148 so far on two contracts. I'm not talking about the bill, I'm just talking about the contracts, the number of contracts. So, and that is why it's taken Treasury slightly longer to finalize. There are 100 or so reports that will be made available quite soon. And once they are processed by the board and then sent to the minister, we'll therefore definitely make them available to Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Honourable members, I think the minister has clearly outlined what we wanted to hear. I don't know, Honourable Shalembe, if the issue was raised. Okay. Quick, let's give.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I'm just trying to catch up somewhere where the minister has said they have pumped the money to the Western Cape and Railway for that upgrade or improvement whatsoever. And he said there was an upgrade or improvement that was done at the Mansfield station. And at the same time, he said on the very same day or the very same time, there was vandalism at that Mansfield station. Do you have any idea what are the real causes of that the development is done and immediately there is vandalism? And maybe to help me, are there any prevention or vandalism prevention plan? So if, say, like what you will be doing other stations to improve, what happened in Mansfield does not happen in other places. I didn't get it clear there. Speak of the root causes of that. Thank you.
Honorable, I think next time you must arrive early in the meeting so that you are able to get every aspect of what brought about that kind of a response. But the minister repeated over and over again that he is talking to the Minister of Police on issues of vandalism. But I'm not responding to on behalf of the minister. Honorable De Freitas.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to follow up on things the minister said. He still hasn't responded to explain to this committee why it's an interim board and not a full board. In fact, and it is quite correct that only one of the members, they're highly qualified, two of them in particular, when it comes to transport matters. The point is that one of them is already sitting on two other boards of other entities, and it leaves only one person actually at the time. If you look at their CV and see what they're busy with. But he still doesn't explain why he's on board. Why did he put it on full board? And then the minister has actually confirmed the indictment of this government. But he said the previous board had people who have little qualifications and a trick. Well, that's an issue of his government. Why weren't those boards having properly qualified people in the first place? So thank you, Minister, for being honest with us and telling us how incompetent the government has been so far. And then you talk about, I have no brief version. I hold the brief that the investigation takes place. If you're saying that a workshop must go, what are you putting in its place and what investigations have taken place? And I want to know what investigations have taken place since the 31st of July when the last board left. Because had the investigations continued, I have from very reliable authority, which I've just checked on my phone, that there would have been a recovery of 7 billion rand right now. But investigation stopped. So it'd be very interesting to see, that's fine, get rid of wordsmiths. What have you put in its place to investigate? There are already 1 billion documents, not 1 billion pages, 1 billion documents that have been covered already by wordsmiths alone. And then the last point is the appointments of wordsmiths. Again, I'm not holding brief. The convening doesn't tell us that the previous board had actually sought Treasury approval and followed all the processes and they've done that and they obtained approval and they have consulted public protection. So that's convenient and not included. So I'd still be interested to hear why the minister has appointed a full board. Has he no confidence that these people are so highly qualified that she says they are? Why has they not been told? What's the deal? Why is there an issue? So I'd be very interested to hear that. And also, when is a full-time, proper, dinkum, ongoing board going to be appointed?
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. In regard to the question by Honorable Shalembe, vandalism is a problem related to criminality. There are instances, Chairperson, where Prasa officials or contractors, when working on maintenance of the infrastructure, are confronted by criminals who are even highly armed. We have such cases, Chairperson, because here, for instance, in Cape Town, there is a cartel of illegal companies which trade on copper wires. And not so long we had an operation with SAPS here in Cape Town. We can also submit the cases that the police are dealing with. There is a problem of criminality. And the same applies even in Gauteng and in this regard at Mansfield, where the station has been vandalized. Others are looking for cables, copper wires. Others are looking for other materials which are there. They have stolen everything, Chairperson, whether drainage materials and the machines that have been erected there for ticketing, there's a new system of ticketing. All those have been vandalized. And as you have said, that this is a matter that we're jointly dealing with Minister Mbalula. The interim board is an interim board, and within a reasonable time, the permanent board will be appointed. And I still differ with the honorable member who just initially said there is only one. Now he says two. So he will go on and say three. And ultimately will say four. Four members. Yeah, you said there is one. Yeah. You said there is one. Now you say two. Who are they? Who are those two?
No, no, honorable minister, just for the chief.
Oh.
And Dr. John Monday, he's the only one who's got
time. How do we appoint members of the board? Do we only appoint economists and engineers? What about the other things?
They need the time. They don't have the time.
Honorable Dictator and honorable minister, let us try and focus on the subject matter.
Okay.
Not teach for charge between the two of you.
Now
you will degenerate this meeting.
No, thank you, Jefferson, and apology. But now there are two experts. Initially it was one. So they will increase to four, not so long. So what investigation takes place? Jefferson, initially it was the recovery of 2 billion. Now with 7 billion.
Yes, that's it.
Which, I mean, Chairperson, I'm the executive authority. Which 7, where is the 7 billion coming from? Where? It's not here in the public protection.
The public protection report says the minister should include his oversight activities with regard to PRASA. You're not even doing that.
Hey, talk about what is the edge. Where do you get the 7 billion?
Honorable Minister, Honorable Dictator, I've said that I don't want this meeting to degenerate into just hold on, Honorable Dictator. You will respond to the minister when he is finished. Write whatever the minister is raising, and then you will be, probably with time, you will be given chance to respond. But it shouldn't be something that can degenerate into something that we don't like to see happen, particularly in this committee. Please, I'm begging your indulgence.
No, sorry. But we have to put the facts straight, not exaggerate, and talk about what was the scope of the investigation and the amount which at the end was paid to contractors. So you can't justify, because I think what the member is doing is trying to justify why we spend 148 million. Yes. So you can't keep on taking the bar higher. Initially 2 billion and 148 million. What is that proportion? When we question, no, now it's 7 billion. He has it on his phone. I don't need to. Can you forward to me the message? So don't come and do your thing there. Are you an investigator? Your investigators are giving you wrong information. Because there are 7 billion in the amount of in the account of trust Chairperson. If it's in a trust account somewhere, where in which trust account is the money? I account to Parliament in regards to the appropriation of money allocated to the department on all the agencies. And if I would have reported even to the Minister of Finance that we have recovered 7 billion, which could be used even for fees must fall challenges. So, but just to come here and say 7 billion, it should not be on record, Chairperson. I dispute that. Let us focus on what is here, and then, as we have promised, we'll bring all the investigations, and the DG says that his counterpart will provide the report as soon as possible. And it will be brought here and edited, Chairperson. We have nothing to hide. We are doing our work. We are here, the PCOT, to account last Thursday we had a public protector. There is no single service provider or investigator that has been interfered with in doing his or her work. I want to know that service provider. So, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ramakata.
Just one comment. I think it would be incorrect for us to be interpreted in a manner that seeks to score cheap political points. It would be incorrect because, as a member of this committee, we have been saying that the investigation as ordered by the report of the public protector should be accelerated. We said so from 2015. We even said in 2015, if you want to take a different route, we were saying this to the board, show us the budget. Where is the budget? They say there is no budget. The group CEO said there is no budget. We're not going to go down that. The board went incorrectly. The state is fact for the fact. They illegally appointed Bergsman. Illegally, the fact this fact was explained by the group CEO, including the one that was seconded by the department, that this was irregular. The appointment was irregular. Public protectors have been a deviation from the direction that the box must investigate and that the treasury must be investigating this matter and the budget of $25 million. Now, we can't be forced to condone the illegal act of under them. In fact, this is just simply a melting of the state coffers by Bergsman. We said so many times, I want to repeat it. $148 million, and I'm sure it's going close to $200 million right now for those invoices that keep coming and bringing in, coming in. We can't condone something like that when the budget clearly was $25 million. The acting DG said 113 contracts were investigated by traders at a cost of $25 million. So this guy that comes in, the Welshman that have been that we hearing the drum, beating a drum of the perfect here, they just come here and they just give in. In fact, let me just state for the record, even the group CEO was not even part of signing the contract of investigation. It was something that was done through closed door by one board member who negotiated the rate, which even today we still ask, what is the rate per hour that are charged, that the Bergsman is charging the state? Who is overseeing the work? Not even the group CEO was involved in that. There was somebody that the board said it was a subcommittee, an individual of the subcommittee that negotiated all of that, rendered the whole contract irregular. And I'm fact we will be talking later to the AG about some of these things, because we asked them, what did the AG say on this contract? There was a discussion between Treasury around that particular question. So I just wanted to say, Chair, for the report, views of parties should not be appropriate for us. We have our views, and we have clearly been saying when the wrong has been done, action must be taken. Law enforcement must move in. Those people that are alleged must be arrested. They must be put to jail. Not come here and make a cheap political standpoint that we, or somehow, we don't want that to happen. Well, why would we not want it to happen when we're supposed to be the one that oversees the department's function? So I just want to speak to say this. Don't speak for us. Speak for yourself. put your perspective. Let's have a discussion about it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. It looks like, Minister, we have exhausted your questions from honourable members. But let me thank the Minister and indicate that we shall complete the report and submit it to the House as to the work of the Portfolio Committee and the workings and issues that are in PRASA. I also need to hasten that what we as a Portfolio Committee has been raising on a number of times with the acting CEOs, acting CEO Kenna, acting CEO that was brought in by the department, and the acting CEO Zide, was to the fact that we would like to see a situation where there is compliance, particularly on matters of supply chain management, as dictated to and as outlined by the public protector on the derailed board, because we were really taken aback when the Werksman was appointed to do exactly what the state entities can be able to do, because we felt that it was not value for money, that when the public protector has indicated that Treasury should do forensic audit, AG should also be brought on board so that there are other things that can be able to be looked into. And then you have a situation where another external private investigation is happening. And very challenging, Minister, you have outright said it, that people's IT, people's bank accounts are being looked into by a private entity. It is a cause for concern that we are able to really that's what about but yeah, no, have a certain, because everybody has got information. If a private entity has got information about you, it's just as good as you being naked. If they go into your private into your banking account, look for your IDs and every other thing, it's just as good as you being naked when they do that. And we're very, very concerned to say probably these are some of the things as the Portfolio Committee we need to look into, to say obviously privacy, people's privacy has been infringed. What are the things that we should be able to look into in this regard? Minister, your last word, and then we close the matter. I said it, this was my last word. Let me give you your last word, Minister.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, colleagues, officials, that as the Department of Transport responsible for 12 entities, we are committed to account to the public, to Parliament, and to organs that promote democracy in regard to the work that we are doing. We are not above the law. All investigations that have been properly instituted, the report will be brought to Parliament through this committee. There will be no report that will be hidden. We'll make sure that all the reports get delivered here. Chairperson, we'll expedite all the outstanding work. As I've said, Treasury will see to it that they finalize, sign off the report. And all the other investigators who have been doing their work, we have to get the reports. And we'll also give a breakdown of all the court cases that are pending and those that have been finalized. We can even give you the amount of money spent on those court cases and whether there was value for money and why, when we are instructed to do something through Treasury, we deviate and do other things. So thank you very much, Chairperson. We'll remain accountable, and in between, I would say to it that the acting region submits some of the outstanding reports that are not here. But thanks very much, Chairperson and the colleagues.
Thank you very much. We go into our next agenda item. Is ATLS board here? They're still outside. Okay, call all the board members to come so that we are able to deal. I see AG is already here. Then we should be able to hear. The board of ATLS, the board of PRASA, the board of SAMHSA.
About the commission.
Five-minute comfort break while they are settling in.
Come closer. I'm getting old, so I'm
here. We've been covering this issue around morale and security. I just needed to find out with you. You mentioned that the department is going to look into fixing the issues, anything that it doesn't want to fix the morale and everything. Do you have a timeline as to when this will happen?
Let's just comfort break and get this because we
Thank you.